This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Last week, Joy and I talked about a difficult storm that we had gone through with our daughter, Christina. It's the first time she really has released us to share some of her story. And a number of years ago, she was involved in a relationship that was physically and otherwise emotionally abusive. And it resulted, when that relationship dissolved, it resulted in her being diagnosed with PTSD and being suicidal and cutting and actually abusing some of her meds. And it was a very difficult time for our family. And it was quite a storm for our family. And this morning, we want to focus on some of the recovery things. Because by the grace of God, we did come out of that. And my daughter came out of that, and we recovered. And last week was a little emotional. It was emotional for all of us. But it was important because, if nothing else, you can understand that the difficulties you may be going through in life are not just subject to you. That even people who you see who stand up and preach every week have difficulties in their family. And so I want to focus this morning on some of the recovery things. And because really everyone's storm is different. Whether your storm is maybe you're single and you're lonely. Maybe you've gone through a divorce or you're dealing with blended families or you're dealing with kids and his kids and her kids and all of that. Maybe it's in-laws and outlaws that have caused trouble in your home. It could be financial. It could be business. So many different storms. Could sickness is a storm. But we want to talk about some of the principles of recovery. All storms are different, but some of the ways to recover are universal, and they're especially with God. Now, I want to talk about Paul's example this morning. The Apostle Paul, as he went through a storm, a literal storm, a hurricane, if you will, and some of the principles of how he came out of it. He was a prisoner. He was being shipped to Rome to appear before Caesar. And he was traveling on a boat. That was the mode of travel at that time. He was traveling on a boat. And they reached a time of the year where it wasn't safe to travel, which is, interestingly enough, late September, early October. And Paul said this in verse 10 of Acts 27, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives." Paul had a perception. He shared that with them. The captain and the centurion that was sent to guard him, neither one of them listened to him. There was money involved. I mean, this is a cargo ship, about 270-some people on it. They really needed to get to Rome, and so they were going to take off anyway. And a soft wind blew softly, and off they went. But as soon as they had gone, man, they hit a storm, and it was a major, major storm. And we'll continue reading their story here. "Because we were exceedingly tempest is a storm, tossed. The next day they lightened the ship. On the third day we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me and not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, Don't be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me.'" Paul shared those words with all the people on that ship. And you think, well, the whole situation changed overnight. Actually, it didn't. The storm continued to rage. And they finally reached a place that after about 2 weeks, they were in this, you imagine being in a hurricane for 2 weeks. And they were in this storm for 2 weeks, and they reached a place where they saw land, but the ship got stuck, and they were being battered by the waves. And once again, Paul stood up, and he spoke again. This is what he said. "And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day. You've waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you.' And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves." I wanted just to share some principles that have helped and some principles that Joy and I employed as we were going through the storm. And the first one is what Paul said in verse 10 when he said, "Men, I perceive." I think it's so important that when you're dealing with storms that you learn to listen to the whispers of your heart. He didn't say, I had a word from God. He just said, I had a perception. Now, all of us, I think, at some point in time have done this. You have done something, it has gone wrong, and the first thing that comes out of your mouth was, I knew I should not have done that. That's happened to all of us. And so learning to pay attention to those whispers of the heart is important. You think, well, Alan, I'm just not a touchy-feely kind of guy. I'm a man's man. I want to tell you something. Paul was not a weak guy. I'm sure if he was here today, he would not have a kitten as an avatar. And he would not. Do you know the first crowd didn't even get that? I just saw that roll right over the top. He didn't have a kitten. He was a guy who was actually whipped. He was whipped 4 times and beaten with rods 3 times. Something around 7 or 8 times, he was whipped and beaten. I don't know about you, but after about the first 2 or 3 times, I might have thought I had a different calling on my life. But he's a tough guy. And yet he said he was willing to listen just to a hunch on the inside, the perceptions of his heart. Listen, we even though we're not trained to do that, this is something we need to pay attention to, because the Holy Spirit who's in us, who lives in us, he is the helper. And he will guide us into all truth, whether that be truth of dealing with the family, truth of dealing with the business, making decisions. He knows what's up ahead, and we need to learn to follow those hunches in our heart. I walked into my house one day, and my daughter in high school was dating a guy, or she had just brought him home. And the moment I saw him, I didn't like him. Now, that's not typically like me. I like most people, and if I don't like him, it's my Jewish side. And so we're going to get mileage out of this, I can tell you. I walked in, I didn't like him. Something in me, something was going off, something wasn't registered. But Christina's like, Daddy, be sweet. You know, Daddy, you be nice. And listen, as a parent, let me just talk parents real quick. As a parent, we want our kids to be loved. We want our kids to be accepted. We want our kids to be popular. But here's something we want more for our kids, and that's to be protected. And I should have listened to that. I should have leaned into that kid pretty hard. And what do you mean leaned? I'm not here to be your friend. If you're dating my daughter, I am not your BFF. I'm the guy looking at you saying, you better bring her back in the same condition as she's leaving this home. You say, well, Alan, that's hard. Yeah, you know what? She got in the car with this guy, and he tried to take advantage of her, and she had to fight him off. Now, again, listen to the whispers of your heart. It all turned out good. He never came back. I never had to engage in 9mm therapy with him. But it would have been a lot better off if I'd listened. I want George to tell some of the other parts of the story, and I'll close it in just a moment.
It's interesting to me, because in the middle of a storm, it's so important. Everything changes. Priorities, what's really important to you. We saw that even with Hurricane Harvey, as people walked out of their homes with just a bag of valuables. That wasn't what it was before, but in the middle of a storm, everything changes. It's really interesting to me in this story how they start to lighten the load. They begin to throw extra weight and extra cargo overboard. You do that so that you get your bearings, so that you're not tilting, so that that boat doesn't capsize. You've got to let go of some things. I've realized to hear the whispers of God speaking in the whirlwind, and he does speak in the whirlwinds of life, I have to quiet my soul and I have to quiet my life a bit. Everyday life has distractions and obligations and pull and pressure on it. And before you know it, you're just, it's heavy. It's too much. Alan's real good about putting his phone to the side so that he just doesn't, you know, be moved by it all the time. I have to be careful. I mean, I could be on Bible Gateway, and I was this one day. I'm studying the Bible, I'm looking up a scripture, and then there's this advertisement in the corner, makeup for women over 50. I'm like, you know, Pastor Rosen used to say, any old barn could use a fresh coat of paint. I need to go there. So I just go there. I'm looking at videos, blogs, and I'm buying makeup. And I'm like, what was I doing? I was studying the Bible. On Bible, I got distracted. All your time can go in a wrong direction if you're not careful. And especially if you're going through a difficult time, you got to trim those things down. You got to let go of some things. My daughter, as she was recovering, she had to be careful with Facebook. Not because she would just be wasting a lot of time sometimes looking at somebody else's life but never living her own. There were a lot of emotions that were attached to it too. She could be depressed and upset because my life isn't like everybody else. So you feel pitiful or you feel prideful. In the sense of, I'm a little better than everybody else maybe. And so all of those things that are going to distract you, they're too heavy, throw them overboard. Get them out of your life, particularly in the middle of a storm. You need to lighten the load. That's a good thing. It'll steady you out. You'll quiet your soul too. It's interesting because I looked at my life, as I looked at my everyday list, my list and what I needed to do were driven by so much guilt and shame. Guilt because I just didn't feel good about what I had done, everything I missed, all the mistakes I made, and shame because I didn't really like who I was. And so I made impossible lists that you just couldn't ever fulfill. And one day I got quiet before the Lord and I said, Father, you know, for some reason, I have had this need and desire. I want to be the best mom in the world. I want to be mom of the year. I want to be heroic in this thing. I mean, I want the applause. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't want the applause. I don't want the award. I'm just asking you, Lord, to make up the difference beyond all of my mistakes. I'm asking you for mercy on my children. And you know what, Lord, between you and I know you get all the glory. Because I know if they have accomplished anything, you did it. And it reminded me of a time when I sent Christina to these art lessons and she came back with this beautiful oil painting of these bluebirds. And I was like, oh, you're talented. Oh my goodness, I didn't know you were so talented. Well, she let me, you know, believe that for 2 weeks. And then she said, I actually didn't paint the birds. I was like, well, who painted them? She says, well, I just put a splotch on the empty canvas, and then the teacher came and made them into birds. And I was like, boy, isn't that like life? We put a splotch on the thing, and it's unrecognizable. We could call it whatever we want to, but unless we give the paintbrush to the Lord and let him define it and make it beautiful, it isn't anything. And when he does, he gets all the glory for it. It's so relieving when you lighten the load of heavy emotions and things you don't really have to do. They're not important at this time. I think it's fascinating too, but with Paul, he goes, we hadn't seen any stars. We hadn't seen any moon. There was no light for days, and all hope of being saved was gone. That is the perfect description and illustration of what hopelessness is. No light. You're sitting in the dark. No electricity. Nothing's happening at all. Hopeless. We're not going to be able to come through this. But a picture of hope, and what hope is actually is an expectancy of something good, where God shines a light and goes, there is a possibility. There is a way out. There is a recovery. There is a way of escape. He is a God of hope. And he says hope actually will anchor our soul. It'll hold you steady on the inside when the winds are blowing like crazy on the outside. This storm that Paul's talking about, they said was like typhoon. It was exceedingly tempest. But no matter what happens in life, we have a God who is a God of hope. And if we stay with him, not only does he shine a light on a way out and a possibility that you don't see, not only does he put a star and a darkened sky in your life, but he's like, and I'll fill you with all joy and peace, and just believing and staying with me. Oh, what a reason to go to him. He's so good and he's so kind. The scriptures give us that hope. The Bible talks about we get comfort through the scriptures that we would even have hope. The scriptures are like a light, and it says that. His words are like a lamp or a candle to our feet. They light our path and they give us visibility. If you have no hope, think about it, being on that ship, no lights. You can't even see anything. You have nothing in front of you. God's like, I'm gonna shine some light for you, and I believe he's gonna shine some light for you today. If you haven't been able to see beyond your problem, beyond the storm, there is. There is hope and help and healing with God. That's who He is. As Christina was recovering, God kept giving me one little scripture and then another little verse and another little verse. And as though I was lighting candles, which I love to light candles. I always thought, you know, because I'm Catholic, I like to pray for people. I light candles all over the place. I did as a little girl. I did all over Italy. Now I can light a menorah for Alan with, you know, us. Eight at a time, right? But each little verse, I get distracted. I have to be really careful about that. But each little verse God gave me was like God was lighting a candle for me for that moment in this time of recovery. And one such scripture was from Hosea 2. Christina had turned her heart to the Lord. She was going to the Lord. And lest I just keep going, are you okay? How are you doing? And monitoring everything about her. I had to trust God that He was speaking to her and she could hear from Him. And so He gave me this scripture in Hosea. It basically says this, where the Lord says, I'm going to allure or draw her into the wilderness. It'll be a quiet place. But right there, I'm going to speak comfortably or tenderly to her heart. And I'm going to make the valley of trouble and what's so been so dark and gloomy and dreary into a door of hope. She's gonna see again. And then it says she will sing there like she did when she was a youth. Well, I really didn't think about the singing at all. My just heart was on, you're gonna speak to her heart, God, and a door of hope is gonna open up to her, a possibility she hadn't seen before. And I'll never forget the day Alan and I were in our bedroom and I was like, listen. We were used to accustomed, because our bedroom is underneath hers, hearing her cry all the time. I actually had to ask the Lord, please, Father, would you take the cries? I hear her cries all the time, and it's tormenting me. Would you just take that sound out of me? Do you know God can cause you to forget the afflictions of the past? He can remove and erase and heal you of memories that have been tormenting you. Do you know the scriptures say He can cause misery to pass away like waters that pass away? It's possible with God, and I'm so thankful for that. And He'll put another sound into your heart. And we're on that day, and I'm like, listen, Alan. She's in the kitchen. She's getting ready for work. And this is what we heard. I'm like, she's humming. Has she ever hummed before? It was little, but it was a sound, a little melody in her heart. And I knew if she's humming, she's healing. If she's humming, there's hope, and she has it in her. Oh, I love that sound. As the months grew on, we'd hear her humming and we'd look at each other and smile and go, she's humming. Again, she's humming. One little light makes a big difference, and God's so good to give that to us. You know, if you remember a couple years back, that big hurricane that came through and we were all without electricity for at least a week or two. Do you remember that? I remember after a week going, boy, are our lights ever gonna come on? It'd be nice to like function with some electricity again, light. Well, I walked into my house and I remember just seeing my nightlight on. It was just the nightlight. And I got so excited because I thought, if the nightlight's on, there's power moving in the house. Other things are gonna work too. Do you know God says, He says, I will be the hope of my people and the strength. You start to get the light of God's word. You start to get hope in your life, and courage and strength comes. And that's what happens to Paul. He says, I'm telling you what, we got to be encouraged. We can take heart. We can cheer up. We can be comforted because an angel of the Lord came and He told me we don't have to be afraid, that we're going to get to the other side and we're all going to be saved. And He says, and I believe God that it will be just as it was told me from the Lord. I just love that. He's like, I trust what God said. Did the storm stop? Did the wind stop? No, they were still blowing. In fact, it was going to even get worse after that. but not on the inside of Paul, not on the inside of the men that were with him. He's like, we're going to take heart and be courage because God spoke. He heard a whisper of the Lord. Oh my goodness. God wants that on the inside of us before anything even stops. You see, we need more than just the outside, okay? We need to be satisfied in our soul. And the Bible says that God will satisfy. He'll satisfy a weary soul. He said he'll satisfy and replenish a sorrowful soul. And that's what he wants to do for us. He's like, I want to do more for you than you can ever imagine. I want to restore to you hope again, life again, singing again a melody. Now, what I've done and what is so good to do is when you get a promise or a scripture, take God's words and put them in your mouth. Speak them out of your mouth. And I'm telling you, it's like bread from heaven on the inside of you. It will satisfy your soul. It will heal your soul. It will replenish your soul from anything you're going through on the outside. And believe me, the outside will begin to calm. Paul knew. He said, you got to take bread. We haven't eaten in days. We need to take bread. He broke bread, gave thanks. He ate it, and he was cheering up on account of it. And he said, everybody's got to eat. There's many times in the scripture we see the Lord go, you need to eat. Give them bread. You need to eat. You need something on the inside of you. You start speaking God's words, and you get the bread of life on the inside of you. We hand it out. These are some of the scriptures that we love. I'll give you some bread today. Psalm 23, as you read it over and over again, it stops becoming rote and you start to, it's so near and dear where you're like, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, I don't have to want. He's going to take me through this valley of the shadow of death. He's with me. I don't have to be afraid. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. I love Proverbs 3:5, where I'm like, I trust in you, Lord, with all of my heart. I trust in you, Lord. I trust you. I believe in you. That's what Paul does. This way you're not reacting from fear from everything that happens and every wind that blows and every wave that comes to your house or your life. You're like, no, I'm going to respond in faith and in my heart. I hope and I trust in God. He's everything. I can trust him. He whispers to your heart. He gives you hope. You're coming through. He's shining a light for you. I'll never forget, I left a voicemail for one of her therapists. I used to leave voicemail. They couldn't, you know, call me back or anything to say, this is what I'm seeing. This is how she's responding to medications. This is how she's doing at work from what I could see. Later on, years later, I saw her in a parking lot. She said, I used to keep your voicemails. I'm like, I never knew what happened to them. I mean, I would leave forever voicemails. But this one I left, I pulled into a parking lot and I was crying. I said, you know, we didn't have a good week. But I said, I just believe there's a little bit of hope in her heart and in her hand. And I proceeded to tell this story. I said, she reminds me of what happened after World War II. After World War II and Germany was totally bombed, desolate, there were many children on the streets without their parents. They were starving. It was horrible. So the Allied forces, America and Britain, went in and they established orphanages to feed those children and get them off of the streets. Even though they fed the children, they had horrible night terrors and they're screaming and crying through the night. They couldn't calm and comfort the children. So what they did is they said after they fed them at night, they put a little piece of bread in their hand and they said, you ate today and you're going to eat tomorrow. You don't have to be afraid for tomorrow. And the children stopped crying in the night and were comforted and calmed. It's so like the Lord to go, I want you to have a little bread in your hand. I want you to know there's hope, strength for today and a bright hope for tomorrow. You're going to come through. He's a God of repair. He's a God of restoration. He wants to replenish you. There is hope. There's a possibility. There's bread in your heart as you speak it, and there's bread in your hand. Bright hope for tomorrow. Amen. Amen.
Just on some real practical side, some things you can do in the middle of a storm. One of the things you notice with Paul is he never spoke about how bad it was until he had an answer. He said, guys, you should have listened to me. I don't think he was rubbing it in. I think he was telling them, I was right back then, I'm going to be right now. There's an angel that's told me we're going to make it. He said, I believe God's going to be just like it was told me. So he was encouraging them. Listen, when you're in the middle of the storm, you don't need to keep talking about how bad the storm is, how awful it looks, what's coming, what's not going to work, what you didn't do right, what they didn't do right. It's so easy to point fingers. It's so easy to be despondent. Listen, your words aren't, you got to make your words help you, not hurt you. I never looked at Joy and said, our daughter's not going to make it. She never looked at me and said, I don't think you're going to make it. Now, sometimes she was through her tears, but we never, neither one of us would ever say that Christina was not going to make it. We kept saying, somehow Christina's going to come through this. Somehow Christina's going to, listen, when you're in the middle of the storm, there's enough darkness all around you. There needs to be light in your mouth. You say, well, Alan, I don't know too much of the Bible. That's why we gave you those cards. You could take the 23rd Psalm. You could take Proverbs 3. And you can learn to begin to speak that. And I realize that may be different for some of you. Maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you've never been raised that way to actually speak God's word or repeat God's word back to himself. Listen, you say, that's a little extreme. When you're going through a storm, forget extreme. You need help. And the bottom line is, speaking God's word is much better than speaking negatives. And it's much better than saying nothing at all. Another thing with your words, and just be careful with this, is that in the middle of a storm, it's so easy to take out the frustrations on the people around you. You're upset, you're under pressure, and you lash out at the people around you. Strife never brings clarity, it brings confusion. So the thing you've got to do is realize, these are not the people I'm battling. I have the enemy, I'm battling life, but I'm not going to battle the people around me. I'm not going to hurt them with my words. The last thing is this, Paul told them to take nourishment. And you've got to nourish your soul. This is one of the reasons we have church, so that you can come in and that you can hear a message that helps you, that you can hear something that makes a difference in your life. So you need church. You need to read your Bible on your own and have a time with God. What are you doing? You're nourishing your soul. Christina, I give her a lot of credit. As she began to turn her heart back to God, she began to take her Bible, she began to read it again. And it made a difference in her life. Last year, Joy was in the grocery store. She was walking down the butter aisle, which is like her favorite place to be. And she's in the butter aisle and she sees a doctor, one of the doctors that had helped us when Christina was so traumatized. And Joy just went to her to tell her thank you. You know, we appreciate everybody who helped us during this time. And she just went to say, hey, doctor, I don't know if you remember me, she said, but you helped my daughter, Christina, and I just wanted you to know that Christina is doing well, that she's strong, that she's off all the meds, and that she's up at, she's in Tulsa, she's married. And the doctor looked at her, and the look on her face, she's like, thank you. She said, thank you. She said, I had the hardest day you can imagine. She said, I can't tell you how much I need to hear that. Well, Joy goes two aisles over, and the doctor hunts her down. And says, tell me, what did your daughter do? How did your daughter get sound? Because, man, when you're on 14 different kinds of meds, soundness is not what we're thinking here. And Joy said, well, she says she came back to God. She began to read the Bible. She said the Bible made her sound. Well, listen, we have no problem with anybody on meds. We had our daughter on meds. Why? We were simply doing everything we could to stabilize her. But something that may stabilize you won't heal you, and God's word will. And so she began to read. Say, Alan, do I have to give up my meds and read God's word? No. Listen, let me tell you something about God's word. It has no side effects. It's not like those commercials that you see where they tell you that you're going to go blind and that you're not going to see anything. It's not like that. God's word, you can take it with any medication that you are taking now, and it will do absolutely nothing but help you. And she told that doctor, she said she began to read God's word. She said it made such a difference. And the doctor came back, found her 2 hours later, and said, let me see a picture of her. And she showed her. She said, I remember her. Yes, she remembers, because it was such a traumatic time. But we remember it was God who pulled us through. And so it's good to say thank you. Paul, before the storm ever stopped, He took bread and he broke it and he said he wanted to thank God. What a weird thing to do in the middle of a storm. People could barely stand up. The waves are battering the boat and you're standing on the boat thanking God, going, thank you, Lord. That's one of the best things you could ever do. That's the song of heaven. That's the language of faith, that before anything ever changes, you begin to thank God because He can help you come through a situation. Now listen, Joy and I, we have been through. You have seen part of our life. You understand that we had marital problems. We've had children problems. We've had problems when they were older. You've already figured out that we're not perfect. But I can tell you this, the same God that brought us through every single one of those situations can bring you through every single one of your situations as well. Because here's the deal. He didn't do it because we're pastors. He did it because we're His children. And so are you. Would you bow your head with me as we pray? Heads bowed, no one moving, please. If you came here this morning and you say, Alan, I have never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. I know that. I know who He is, but I've never asked Him to be the Savior of my life. We're going to say a prayer in just a moment, and this prayer is for you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Alan, I did that years ago. Or maybe just weeks ago, and I've fallen away from God. And I know that. He knows that. And I want to come back. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not going to ask that you stand up. We're not going to ask that you come to the front. But we're going to say a prayer sitting right where you are, and your life can begin to change. And that very same hope can either be birthed in your life or be rekindled in your life as you realize He's the God of hope. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around, but I am going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to, you say, Alan, I do know that I need Jesus Christ in my life, or I need Him back in my life. Would you pray for me? We're going to do that. But would you just have the courage to lift your hand and acknowledge that and say, that's me? Alan, would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I see hands go up all over. Anybody else? I realize it takes courage. Thank you for your courage. That's so good for you because you're acknowledging, God, I need you in my life or I need you back in my life. Anyone else? You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Some of you didn't lift your hands, but you really wanted to. But you can pray this prayer. This is a heart prayer. In fact, we're going to join you in this prayer as a whole church family. Pray this with us out loud so you can hear yourself say it. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to You. Now, head still bowed and eyes closed. Father, thank You. For those who have stepped out of darkness into Your life, for those who have stepped back into the light and come home, Father, thank You that changes have taken place in their heart and in their life and their eternal, and we're grateful for that. Father, for everyone here who is despondent, everyone here who is thinking that their storm, that they're the only ones. Father, thank You that they're not. And thank You, Father, You have answers, that You're the God of hope, not just for me and Joy, that You're the God of hope for them individually. And Lord, we are grateful for that, that You are that big of a Father and that good of a God. We give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.